Paul DeTino and Howard Cross live from MetLife Stadium, where the Giants have knocked off the Philadelphia Eagles 28-23, the Giants' third victory in a row. And Howard Cross, I got to tell you something. This team has certainly got a flair for the dramatic. They did it once again, closing out the Eagles here in the last moments.
A great job again by the defense, guys, holding together the entire game, finding a way to, you know, will themselves to win, even when a mistake was made late in the game.
I'll tell you something. Things that go wrong in the Giants-Eagles games, or at least are fluky, I don't know if you want to say wrong, depends on your point of view. The weirdest kind of plays happen, though, in these kinds of matchups.
You know it is, but you know it's all kinds of things that you think about that you don't really notice. Like when Bobby Hart gets hurt, now all of a sudden they can put a little more pressure on his side. They're chipping all day trying to help him out because he's limping. But in the last play, when Eli gets the interception, it's his man who tips the ball.
Giants lost to Cruz and Pugh to injury in this game early on, but they continue to move ahead. Finally, they get some running out of their running backs. Paul Perkins got a lot of action today, most he's seen so far this season, Howard. I thought his quicks really helped the Giants.
I think really what happened at the end of the game wasn't just Paul Perkins running the ball. They had put Newhouse in at tight end. So the tackle eligible made it easier to get more blocks and get more pressure on the Philadelphia's defensive line. When that started happening, guys started pulling up. They started, you know, reaching and trying to make plays. That's how that works out.
How significant do you think it was that after the Giants' previous two victories, they were down 10-0 early and had a scratch back? This time they actually had a lead early in the game for a change.
I think it's pretty important. I mean, you got to check and see. They've had five straight possessions with an interception. You know, going back to the Rams game, they started the game in the right fashion. You know, and being able to finish it off is the best part.
The one thing I think that was maybe disappointing from Steve Spagnuolo's point of view is that defensively they gave up a bunch of big plays, some deeper throws to Carson Wentz than I think they probably thought.
Well, you know, they did. They did pressure him and move him around a lot. They moved Wentz out of the pocket a ton. But when they didn't move him out of the pocket, he would get the ball down the field, and some plays were made.
Now, just talking to some of the players coming off the field, the fourth down stops, the Giants really came to play on those fourth down plays.
Yeah, they did, but I think that the coach is going to go back and look at it from Philadelphia, and he's going to think, maybe I should have kicked one here or there. But, you know, even when they did kick it, they blocked it. So that's how it works.
All right, so the Giants beat the Eagles 28-23. For Howard Cross, I'm Paul DeTino. We'll have players later on inside in the Coaches Club. Giants postgame live comes your way now.
And welcome to Giants Post Game Live, everybody, presented by Mercedes-Benz, the official luxury automobile of your New York Giants, right here for you on MSG. How you doing, everyone? I am Russ Salzberg. Giants win for the third time in a row, this time by the score of 28-23. In the process, take over sole possession of second place in the NFC East. Joining me today, my colleagues, Sean O'Hara, David Deal, and Amani Toomer. But right now, we're going to go down to the field, speak with Paul DeTino and number 90, JPP, Jason Pierre-Paul.
Jason, another dramatic finish. Again, the Giants come out on top. Now, your third win in a row, but this one huge because it's against your rivals.
Yeah, you know, we just came out and played some good football, man. You know, we had a bye week. You know, guys got their body right, you know, rest up. And, you know, all week we just practicing. You know, coaches have been emphasizing, you know, finish. And that's what we did today.
Some of the craziest things happen in Giants-Eagles games. Again, it happened today. But ultimately, your defense had a lockdown on the final series. You had a big play, almost an interception.
Yeah, you know, we just doing our job, man. That's what we out here for, to do a job, make the fans happy. You know what I mean? Try to get back to the playoffs, man, one game at a time.
All right, Jason, Paul, thanks. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
All right, Paul and JPP, thank you very, very much. But I have to tell you something, guys. I'm resigned to the fact it is never going to be easy. Number one, Giants had to win this game, as far as I was concerned, if they want to compete for the division title, because you know they weren't getting any help from the Browns today. They got the victory. That's the most important. But, boy, it's always holding your breath.
Everybody's chasing the Dallas Cowboys, absolutely. But this game, there was a huge gust of wind coming out of the stadium. It was the sigh of relief by Giants fans. You could hear it out here on that last fourth down throw. And they're the cardiac kids this year. Everything's coming down to the final drive. The defense stepped up big time. Obviously, the questionable play calling by Doug Peterson. Peterson and the Eagles, put them in position. But you've got to give a lot of credit to Landon Collins. He's playing phenomenal football. Had two interceptions in the game in London. Comes back, has another big play. And the defense really held on and kept them in the game.
I think not only being able to hold him on those two fourth downs and then blocking the field goal, but then also holding them to 3 of 15 on third down, really taking over what they did in London, being able to create the takeaways on the defensive side of the ball to give the offense more opportunities. And it was very early that you saw the offense were able to gain momentum off of the defensive side of the ball. But having said that, the balance of running to passing and the ability of the Giants offense in the first half to have 9 runs for only a total of 11 yards, that is something that needs to continue to move forward in order for this offense and for this team to come away with big wins. We all know that this was a huge one. It was a must-win for the Giants, and it wasn't pretty. But having said that, you can't sneak out of games like this each and every week the way the Giants were today.
I think a lot of the reason why they're sneaking out is because of their lack of aggressiveness. They were up 14, and they got the ball back, and the Giants went 3 straight draw plays. I mean, that's really taking the stinger, not only out of the offense that was moving the ball pretty well, but I know you big offensive linemen, you like to run downhill and get after these defensive players when you got a 14-point lead. But I do agree with you, Dave. They did a good job at the end closing out the game, running with Paul Perkins. That, to me, should be the lead back for the Giants moving forward because of his shiftiness and his ability to get down the hill quickly. We haven't seen that out of Rashad Jennings this season.
The biggest drive of the game, really, for Eli was in the second half. After the Eagles came out, they went right down, got some points. The Giants came back and responded. That was the best drive for them offensively. But to your point, they've got to do a good job, better job of running the football. When you're up 14-3 in the first half, there's no excuses. They had 9 carries for 11 yards. You've got to do a better job. Even though Justin Pugh was out, they've got to find a way to close games out. And you do it by running the football. You can't always rely on the passing game.
You mentioned just a moments ago about the fine play of Landon Collins. He's certainly becoming one of the young leaders on this Giants team. Paul Dottino is with him now.
Landon, another dramatic game. It seems like you guys just got to keep doing this all season. What are you doing to your fans?
Man, we give them the game. We give them the game, and we always keep them on the edge of their seat so they can always love us.
A little different this time, though, in that you guys had to play with an early lead instead of crawling from behind the entire day. That was a little bit of a different circumstance.
Hey, we got the turnovers for our offense. We put them in good field position. They put points on the board. That's what we got to do. I'm going to continue doing that.
I need you to describe for me the fourth down stops because, my goodness, Philly wasn't respecting you and trying to go for those fourth downs, and you guys held them out.
Man, it's one thing to do that and consistently do it. That's how we know we dominate. That's how we prepare ourselves for close games like this. And that's why we recognize to be one of the best teams in the red zones.
Thanks for your time, Landon. Appreciate it.
No problem.
All right, guys, back to you.
Number 21, Landon Collins, certainly one of the leaders on the defense, one of the young leaders on this team. He says he wants to be captain one day. I would suspect that it will happen. Anyway, right now, let's take care of some business, folks. Adorama, that's where you want to go, to adorama.com/Giants. Win yourself a Bose Quiet Comfort 35 wireless headphones. Adorama, your official electronics retailer of the New York Giants. A lot more coming up. You'll be hearing from head coach Ben McAdoo and much, much more. So stay right where you are. You're watching Giants Post Game Live presented by MSG right here on Mercedes-Benz. Juan Chick Corea, a 63-time nominated, 22-time winner of a Grammy Award. He played with the legendary Miles Davis Band, and he was there today during the national anthem for our pregame show. Once again, how you doing, everybody? I am Russ Salzberg. Let's now go right downstairs, hear what the coach, Ben McAdoo, has to say.
All right, it's good to come out, get a win after the bye in the division. Now we got to focus at... Got to get better. Got to get better in each of the three phases. We'll open it up to questions.
Do you have any updates on Justin and Victor?
No. No updates. We got to take a good look at him this week.
Coach, it's only been one game so far, but to you, what's the biggest difference for this team before the bye and the week after?
We used a lot of different players today. I think most of the guys on the roster played a, or all the guys out there in the 46 played a significant impact in the ball game, and it was a next man up type of game.
Anyone in particular stand out to you?
Anyone in particular? I'm going to have to go back and take a look at the tape. I don't want to single anybody out right now.
Coach, you get those first two interceptions on the first two possessions. As far as setting the tone, you're up 14 to zip. How much was that a good start for you guys?
That was good. It's good to get the turnovers and then cash in on them on the offensive side of the ball. Defense keeps coming up with the ball. That's encouraging. Offense found a way to get the ball in the end zone. That was big for us. We have to learn to have that killer instinct, though, when you get a team up by two scores and keep the foot on the gas and don't let them back in the ball game. We do know it's a four-quarter-plus ball game. So with that being the case, you have to play the game as it unfolds, and we kept playing there right to the very end.
So it's the running game is what it –
No. It looked to me like he caught the ball with his hands. They went to the ground. They came up with the ball. I'm not sure. I'm going to have to see it on film.
During the bye, you wanted to focus on the run game. You only have 54 yards today. What did you see out there running-wise?
I thought at the end of the game we had some nice runs come out. I thought Perkins showed some good balance there. It was a tough front to run against, but we got to run the ball better.
Why did we see more ball purpose?
We talked about mixing some players in, making sure we use everybody on the 46.
You also did a lot of six-man lines there, at least at the end, even part of the first half. Why did you do that?
We're going to acclimate Marshall back in and, again, use all the 46. As much of the 46 as we can, get every player involved in the game.
Were you happy with that Dwayne took that kickoff out of the end zone and didn't get back to the 25?
Was I happy we had the ball on the 12-yard line? No, I'm not happy we had the ball on the 12-yard line.
When you got hired, you told us that one of the things you noticed about last year was you guys had leads, but couldn't always hold them. This year, your defense has held a lot of leads in the fourth quarter. How big a difference does that make, obviously, in the house court, but just in general?
Last year's in the rearview mirror. You go back, you learn from the past, and you work on today. And we believe that we're going to win these football games. We believe that we're a physical team that's going to hang on to leads and win the game. We're going to get better as the game goes on and get better, and we're going to win the game in the end.
That confidence kind of overflows to the team when they know the defense is not going to necessarily run down late.
That all three phases plays into it. It's not one phase. It's all three phases.
It was encouraging to see the ball get in the end zone by the offense. Was this Eli's best game so far in the season?
He had those unfortunate turnovers. I thought he did a nice job completing the ball today. Again, we'll go back and take a look at the film.
Greg, can you just talk about that sequence, starting with the third down play that got Eli's pass that got tipped and intercepted, and your defense being put in a bad position but holding them out of the end zone?
Yeah, it was a tip ball. I thought we had a chance to get a first down on a couple different options there. He ended up going to the big body over the middle. Ball got tipped. I think we'd have been in good position to get the first down there. And then what was the second part of the question?
Then the defense didn't give it up at that point.
Yeah, the defense, they played aggressive. Spags did a great job. He called it aggressive. They were feeding it off. They were feeding off of him right there. And they went out. They challenged the perimeter, got some good rushes, and rose to the occasion.
Why pass there in that spot? Third,
say that again.
Third down, what was the thinking? You had obviously run a pass, making use your last time out. Did you contemplate that? And why did you ultimately go with that?
You got to repeat this.
Third down.
Which side of the ball were you on here?
You're on offense.
Okay.
You make a decided pass before the interception.
It wasn't third and ten.
Third and four.
Yeah.
What was your decision?
Win the game.
You could have made them use the last
time out and run 5 seconds off the clock. If we don't get it, then they have a minute 50 to work with. Let's win the game. Let's play aggressive. I thought they got better today.
And it seemed before Victor got hurt, it seemed like his snaps were reduced. Is that accurate?
We just talked about, using all the 46 and rotating as many players as we can in the ball game and getting them some quality reps.
All right, that was head coach Ben McAdoo. And guys, listen, a W is a W, and that's what you need. You know, they're sole possession of second place. But head coach Ben doesn't sound like the happiest camper now. He knows he escaped, and there's a lot of work that needs to be done.
Well, he knows they're lucky. And listen, game balls to everybody on the defense, because what they did, coming into this game, they're the second-best red zone defense. They held them to 2-for-6 in the red zone. Granted, they got a couple of – they got some help from the Eagles with some of their decisions to go for it and not kick field goals early in the game. But this defense showed up. Steve Spagnuolo's signature is bend, don't break. And as soon as they got down in the red zone, when they needed a big stop, they came away with it. I can't say enough about Landon Collins. He leads the team in interceptions, leads the team in sacks, which is not ideal, but he's been all over the field, and he's been their spark plug.
The one thing that you have to be concerned about, though, are the big plays. They had a lot of big runs over plus 15 yards.
And the tight ends hurt them.
The tight ends down the seams and through the vertical route passing game. A lot of big 20, 30-yard gains. That's something that in that bend but don't break, but when you also take the gambles of blitzing and you don't get home, that was when they were able to capitalize on them. So moving forward here, as much as you want to do, as much as flexibility-wise with the scheme, with being pressure, with getting after the quarterback, at some point, this front four is going to have to be able to do it on their own without dialing up pressure each and every opportunity.
One of the good things about this week is coming off the bye week, I always thought as a player it was really hard to kind of get yourself re-acclimated to playing football at full speed when you've been off for a week. And obviously the Giants came out today and they played well, got up to a quick 14-point lead. I don't like the way they dealt with it, but... And then moving on to what they wanted to focus in on the bye week was running the football. They put Newhouse at tight end, as Howard Cross mentioned early on, and they really got that running game going effectively. You look at the statistics; they're not going to jump out at you. But when they needed to run the ball and get the chains moving and drain that clock down at the end, Paul Perkins was there to do it.
And you have to give credit to Brett Jones. You didn't hear his name called this entire game. Yeah. So for him to be able to fill in for Justin Pugh and play the way that he did, a lot of credit to him.
I see a number 69.
That's right.
the most important stat of all, guys, as we know, is the W. They win for the third time in a row. You saw it. It was 28-23, the final. So, again, Giants have sole possession of second place in the NFC East. We got a lot more coming up. Right now, we're going to take care of some business. Guests of our post-game show receive a gift certificate to Ben and Jack's, located on 5th Avenue at 28th Street in Manhattan. We're talking from the celebrated porterhouse to the finest seafood anywhere. Ben and Jack's will surpass your expectations of what a steakhouse should be. Stay right where you are. You're watching Giants Post Game Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz. All right, part of today's festivities there at the end of the second quarter, it was Long Island native Steve DeVries, who served in the U.S. Army as a combat medic, receiving numerous commendations for his valor. He was presented today with his brand new service dog there, Levi. And congratulations to Steve and Levi. And now what do you say we go back inside, down to the locker room, and hear what number 87, rookie Sterling Shepard, has to say.
It was a game of big plays. We knew that we were going to have to do that coming in. We knew that they had a physical defense, so we had to do our part and get open.
Did it feel like they were being a lot more physical than you're used to, or doing something to you to try and get you off of your game?
No, not really. I mean, that's what we saw on film from those guys, like I said. We knew they were going to be a physical group of guys, so we knew we had to bring our boxing gloves with us, if you would say. We knew that it was going to be a physical game going into it, so that's what we were prepared for.
5-3 now, moving forward, how does that feel coming out of the bye, getting a win, and capitalizing on the two wins you had right before the bye?
Right, no, it feels really good. I mean, but we just got to look. We got to look to the next game now. We got to put this one behind us. It was a huge win for us, but now we have to put it behind us and we have to stay on track. We've been on an uphill slope from here, so we got to keep going in that direction.
Well, you want to stay going uphill, but you want to feel like it's going downhill, like you can breathe a little bit. And again, today was very, very difficult. Like I said at the start, I'm resigned to the fact it's just never going to be easy. Maybe that's the Giants' way. But again, bottom line is they got the W.
Well, at 5-3, the Giants are a good team right now. Great teams know how to finish teams off and really just put your foot right down in their throat. They started out, turned two early interceptions into touchdowns. Things are looking good. You go into halftime 21-10. And then they stall out. I've got beef. 5-3 and outs by this offense. You can't do that. You can't put your defense right back out there after just three plays. They need to have more consistency, and they need to have more confidence and a little more swagger to find a way to put teams away. That's how you become a great team.
And to go along with that, talking about that swagger and that confidence, when it's 3rd and 4, your offensive coordinator shouldn't have a doubt about running the football in order to close out the game in the end. Turned out to be an incomplete pass, stops the clock, and once again gives that little bit of life
and
into
the
Eagles.
And
then all of a sudden, turn around, interception. So those are the types of things that we're still talking about that they haven't fixed from last season. Finishing football games and not waiting for somebody to make a play or waiting for that, are we going to be able to pull it out? You have to have that confidence in your group that when the game is on the line, that you are going to step up and take over as a football team, and they have yet to do that.
I think that one of the things that really needs to happen is like Eli needs to be a little bit more aggressive. I see him, and it eats me up as a wide receiver to see the quarterback constantly checking down to running backs out of the backfield or to throw into tight end little chip plays, because there were some plays down there where if Eli would have looked up downfield, there was opportunities for big plays. And those are the plays that we need with the Giants to really stomp out these games and make them not even easy.
Yeah. It was just off
that was a touchdown. Those are plays that can change the whole complexion of games, and that's what the Giants need to do. That's what Eli needs to do. And I think that it was a good step forward, but there's always room for improvement.
All right, well, we've got a lot more coming up. Eli Manning, we'll hear what the quarterback has to say and much, much more. So stay right where you are. You are watching Giants Post Game Live presented by Mercedes-Benz, here for you on MSG. And welcome back to Giants Post Game Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz here on MSG. Prior to today's kickoff, U.S. Army veteran Colonel Gadsden ringing the Giants pride bell. And a lot of pride was certainly for the Giants fans, a little nervousness as well. But again, the bottom line was a W, 28-23 was your final. Let's now go back downstairs to hear what the man who quarterbacked that victory was, Eli Manning, hear what he had to say.
Yeah, that was a big emphasis, try to get off to a fast start, and we were able to do that. Defense did a great job getting turnovers, and offense capitalizing on that, getting two touchdowns, third down conversion on one, hitting Roger Lewis on the post, hitting Odell on a slant, so a couple big plays, so that was good. Defense played outstanding all game. Offensively, had a couple good drives, did some good things, but it was good to get a win. We're finding ways to win. Win close games and tough games, and that's what we have to do in this league.
Eli, what was going through your mind on that last interception?
Well, just unfortunate. Ty ran a good route, got a guy open, ball gets tipped at the line of scrimmage. So just unfortunate. I hate tip balls. I hate kind of cheap interceptions, and that's kind of as cheap as they come with a tip ball at the line of scrimmage. So, we had a good play. Everybody did the right thing, and just hey, you gotta give credit to them. Their defense line getting a hand up and getting a piece of the ball.
I'm sure they showed you on the film. Watching it again, is that like the worst thing if you're on the field and you're looking up at the score? Can you even describe what that's like?
Yeah, just it's tough. It's tough. As I say, just cheap interceptions is what I call them, where, guys are doing things right. You're in the pocket. You're seeing things. You got a guy open. You know he's open. You throw it on time. You're going to have a completion. You're about to win, kind of close out, seal up the game possibly, and, ball's tipped. So, unfortunate. They got a couple tipped balls today.
When you're making a throw like that, Eli, do you have to anticipate, after you release it? I mean, before you release it, the guy might throw his arms up there so that it looks open. At that point, you have to account for the fact that his arm's up in the air?
No.
Next what question. Speaking of cheap interceptions, what did you think?
Yeah,
of that
same
one?
With Odell. Same with Odell. You know, that's kind of another one. Good, you know, good play. Again, had a slant. You know, thought it threw a pretty good ball. He had the ball and got you know, whether the ground caused it to come out or the ball popped out. You know, again, another kind of cheap interception. Thought, you know, it'd been better. You know, not turn the ball over. Obviously, those two. You know, hey, they're turnovers. They happen. Unfortunate, they kind of, you know, two interceptions. You kind of hate to, you know, put those on the go against the stats, because I thought we, you know, threw the ball smartly. We were safe with the football today.
Talking about throwing the ball safely, I think you went to 8 receivers today. More personnel is being implemented into the offense. How has that helped you as well as the offense as far as your productivity?
Well, I think it's just everybody knows you got to be ready. The ball is going to be spread around. We're not, you know, the way defense is going to play different coverages. You know, we might have certain plays to go to one guy or a certain guy, or where you're the first read. But hey, you know, they're playing lots of different coverages, mixing up things. So everybody's got to be ready, and guys are stepping up and making some nice plays. So we got to continue to do that.
All right, quarterback Eli Manning. You know, guys, I'm hearing, I guess. Maybe we should be more positive about the situation because, really, they've won their third game in a row, and we complained earlier about finishing. They finished 3 weeks in a row, maybe hanging on, but they did get the job done. And listen, this is the NFL. You guys were all part of it. It's never going to be easy.
Well, it was a good win because they started fast, and Eli mentioned it. Coming off the bye, you want to be fresh. They scored points in the first quarter for just the second time this season. So that fast start helped. The thing that has me scratching my head is this offense has yet to score 30 points in a game this season. They did it 7 times last year. So that scoring offense they had last season, 26 points a game, was the 6th best in the NFL. They haven't found a way to get there yet. They're not quite there. When they do, this team is going to be really dangerous. But until then, we're going to see these close games for the rest of the season.
Because I think it's good that they're winning, and I'm glad that they won 3 games in a row. But if you look at this, the way that they're winning and how they're in the fashion that they're winning,
it makes it look hard.
It doesn't seem like it's sustainable. And that's the problem that I have with watching some of these games. I think they have the talent to be better. I think that if they're a little bit more aggressive, both play calling with the quarterback, both on offense and defense, I think if they let everybody loose and play, I think they could be a much better team than they are now.
How many times did you say they scored over 30 points last season?
7 times.
7 times.
7's the magic number.
But
here,
remember one thing. It was 7 times. However, they only won 6 games. They now have already won 5 after A. So that is the most important improvement.
The defense is a lot better. They spent some money wisely.
Yeah, I would say they spent a lot of money on the defensive side of the ball. But when you look at this offensively, they have got to find a way to produce in the running game moving forward here this season. I know that you continue to say, oh, well, the wide receivers, you know, they're always in a 3-wide set. You've seen the way that it has affected this offense and the way that it's affecting this football team. Number one, they are not dictating the tempo of the football game. They are not allowed to continue to move forward and keep drives to have those sustainable ones to keep the defense fresh, because the defense is selling out. The defense is coming to play each and every week. Yeah. Now it's time cohesively where the offense of the New York Giants, if they can start taking care of the line of scrimmage, dictating the tempo, and winning the time of possession, that's where you'll see
real
this
quick,
team
Russ,
take over.
To your point about it doesn't feel great. I mean, look, they're going to come in tomorrow and feel like, hey, we won the game. This is great. But they're also going to watch this film and say, man, we had a lot of drops. We had some misplays. Losing Justin Pugh, they hope that he's not out for too long, but that's going to be a huge blow because now they only dressed 7 offensive linemen. They got Marshall Newhouse back, but they might be missing Justin Pugh for a week or two. So they've still got a lot of things to correct, and I'm sure it'll be fun to watch the tape, but they're also going to put it away really quick and say, all right, we've got a lot of work to do.
All right, and one of the guys doing the work for the Giants today was Odell Beckham Jr. We'll hear from him coming up. And right now, what do you say we take a look at what's coming up this week on Giants programming on the MSG Networks? As we told you before, prior to today's kickoff, U.S. Army veteran Colonel Gatson ringing the Giants' pride bell, and maybe it was good luck because it certainly resulted in a good Ullman. Giants win by the score of 28-23, as we said, for the third game in a row. Part of that victory, and the last three victories, was number 13, Odell Beckham Jr. Let's hear what he has to say.
What's this day like?
I mean, I couldn't get a better present for my teammates, my coaches. This is everything you needed to cap off or start the weekend. Either way, it was a great win we had tonight. We fought for it. Even at times where it looked like, you know, they still could win the game, we found a way to win.
As far as being able to beat a passing defense that was one of the top passing defenses in the NFL, what can you say about the success you guys had through the air?
We had a good game plan, and guys made plays. Roger Lewis comes in. You know, unfortunately, Vic rolls his ankle. And we have our young guy. You have to come in. You have to make plays. You have to do what we feel like you're capable of doing, and he did above and beyond that today. Still things we need to clean up in the receiving core. A couple drops we had, we just need to come down with them, be more efficient.
Well, some efficiency. What kind of confidence do you get? Defense has those two picks early in this game, and you guys capitalize on both of them.
It's a great feeling. We're playing on, in my opinion, I don't know stats or anything like that, just looking at it, this is one of the best defenses in the league. And we go against them every single day, so we know what they're capable of. It's just great to see it happen. Get two picks, we capitalize on it. You know, I'm thinking we trying to run up the score.
How do you do that then? How do you start to just put these teams away?
You got to. I don't know what it is exactly you have to do, but you have to put, you know, once the pressure's applied, you have to apply more pressure. And just find a way to, you know, put them out early. The game's never over. These are NFL games. They're going to go down to the wire always. But, I mean, I think there's ways around that. And, you know, we just need to come out and do better next time after we put them in a hole. Just dig it even deeper.
Not only the picks, but the fourth down stops as well. What kind of a momentum swing is that for you guys on the offensive side?
I mean, like I said, this defense is they're phenomenal. And like I said, to go against them every single day, you know what's expected. You know there's been times in practice where we're repping the situation. They're stopping us on fourth. So it doesn't surprise me. It just is a great feeling. You know, we get to get out there, and now we need to make a play for them. It's kind of like, you know, they reward us with a ball back, and we try and make a play for them, put points on the board.
You know, you listen to Odell Beckham and really all the guys. They all sound like us.
Yeah.
They know work needs to be done. And they listen. Bottom line, we can say it to a blue in the face. WWW, they're 5-3, sole possession, second place in the NFC East. But they all know there's a lot of work to be done, because you can't win this way, can't win a division playing this way.
They know they can play better, and they have to play better if they want to move forward. You want to get into the postseason, you've got to clean all that stuff up. Special teams came up big. Another blocked field goal. Janoris Jenkins picked it up. You know, I thought, to me, one of the plays of the game was the hustle by Keenan Robinson.
Yes.
On the Darren Sproles return, 66-yard return. Keenan Robinson hustles down there, forces him out of bounds on the 15-yard line. They end up going for it on fourth down. They got no points out of that, and it was Keenan Robinson's hustle that helped make that happen.
And anybody who's watched any Eagles games this season has seen how special teams has impacted the games and the outcomes of the wins for the Philadelphia Eagles. So great hustle play by Keenan Robinson. But having said all that, we're all being very critical. We're all diagnosing everything that went wrong in this game. You have to give them credit, because the Giants these last two seasons were 0-4 up against the Philadelphia Eagles, not winning since 2013. And there's always been that little, after a bye week, are the Giants going to be able to come out with one? They came out with a lot of energy. They found a way to win this football game. But they will have to make some corrections, but it's always great doing it when you're coming
easier
off
to do
of
it.
A win.
It's easier to coach off a win, definitely. But the one thing that the Giants have not been doing well, and they did well today, was the penalties. They only had 5 penalties for 30 yards, which is, you know, there was weeks where they had double-digit penalties for triple-digit yards. And, you know, against a team that is equal to you, you can't give them anything. And, you know, the special teams play with Darren Sproles, 66-yard return, that can't happen. I know it was great hustle to get him out of bounds, but you can't let him switch the field like that and put your defense again in a short yardage red zone type of area, because they really today that defense stood up in the red zone and then didn't let the Eagles get really going in their red zone area. If they would have been better in the red zone, this game could have been entirely different.
All right, still more to come, folks. Stay right where you are. You want to find out who is the toughest player of the game, according to the Hess toy truck. You'll hear about that. And you'll also, you got to remember, you are watching Giants Post Game Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz, your official luxury automobile of the New York Giants. You're watching Giants Post Game Live right here on MSG. All right, time now to reveal the toughest player of the game, driven by the Hess toy truck. And the player is? Not a surprise there. Number 21, Landon Collins. He is one tough football player indeed, and according to the Hess.
He's the only player in the NFL to lead your team in tackles, in interceptions, and sacks.
All right, but right now let's go to a guy who's a little bigger than Landon Collins. Just a wee bit bigger. Excuse me, buddy. Right.
Thanks for that, Sean.
Paul Dottino with Damon Harrison.
Okay, guys, and snacks, what a defensive effort again today. Stopping these guys habitually on fourth down. I'll be honest, I just thought it was maybe gutsy, maybe crazy, but they certainly put the nose to the glass and tried to challenge you guys a number of times.
And that's, as a defense, that's some things you want to take advantage of, because when you look back at the ball game, that was the difference in the ball game. Those two times they could have kicked the field goal. It was a five-point game, right?
Right.
And those two field goals would have gave them the win by 1 point. So to be on the other end of it and stopping them on the fourth down was huge.
It's starting to become a habit for this defense to close out people on the final drive. Now, the fans are having palpitations. I don't know what it's like for you guys on the field, but it must be incredibly satisfying to be able to get it done.
Oh, yeah, that's what you play the game for. You don't want to go out there and just have a blowout every week. You play the game to be on the field.
They'll take it, though.
Yeah, I'm sure they would. But you play the game to be out there at the end of the game, and the team needs you to make a stop to win the game so the offense can kneel the ball out. I mean, that's the reason why all of us signed up to play. Again, the blowouts are fine. You know, everybody enjoy those, but those wins like these are more gratifying.
I'd like you to address two things that really worked well for you guys again today, and it's something that I know has been talked about a lot. Third down conversions, you held them to 20%, yeah. And, of course, the turnover battle, you guys were able to create two turnovers today.
Yeah, that was something we wasn't doing too well at the beginning of the year, which attributed to our early losses. So that was big when you have a quarterback like Carson Wentz. You don't want to give them opportunities to extend drives, because offensive coordinators, they're pretty good at, you know, creating some things for the offense to score. So getting off the field on third down and creating turnovers were the two biggest things that Coach Spags had on the board this week.
All right. Eagles-Giants rivalry. Snacks gets a taste of it today, and it's a victory.
Oh, yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
All right. That's Snacks Harrison, guys. Back to you.
All right, Paul and Snacks, thank you very much. Guys, listen, you were all part of the Giants-Eagles rivalry. Dave, you tell me. You know, in the end, that's what it's all about, and beating your division rival nonetheless.
No question. This game is always a physical beat-up, heavyweight fight where it's going to be won at the line of scrimmage. We saw Snacks Harrison have a huge play on the stop on fourth down. You know, we always used to hear from our offensive line coach, Coach Flaherty, you know, you need to forklift that guy out of there and get him on one leg. You try to get Snacks Harrison on one leg on a double team when he sunk that down low on fourth down. We're just talking about it. People and players stepping up and really this defense finding their identity. Talk about the change from last season to now, still holding the Eagles, another team, to 100 yards rushing. It's been a combined group effort, and Snacks Harrison on the inside is one of those guys.
Well, and listen, they paid big money to get him, and, you know, he certainly did help today. Okay, we got a lot more coming up. We'll hear from somebody from the offensive line, Weston Richburg. But don't forget, coming up this Tuesday night at 10 o'clock on MSG's Plus, it's Giants Life featuring number 13, Odell Beckham Jr.
Just pulling up here, seeing all these people waiting, you know, since early this morning, like, it gives me goosebumps. These people are truly, truly the reason, you know, why I do what I do.
All right, welcome back to Giants Post Game Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz here on MSG. There you see the NFC standings. Cowboys winners today, so they improved to 7-1. Giants, as you know, were, of course, winners today, so they are in sole possession now of second place with a record of 5-3, followed by the Redskins, who are idle, and then you have the Philadelphia Eagles. All right, now let's go right back down inside MetLife Stadium and hear what Weston Richburg has to say.
Okay, guys, and Weston, you know, you haven't been around here a long time, but anybody who's been around the Giants and Eagles knows about the history of the fluky plays and the crazy things that seem to happen in this rivalry. You've now started to experience it. What is it like when those nutty things, blocked field goals, tip balls, crazy interceptions start happening on the field? How do you guys keep your composure?
Well, that's the thing. We have to keep the composure no matter what happens. Just keep playing our game, and it'll work out just like it did today.
Could you talk to me a little bit about what Paul Perkins brought to the table today? I know the rushing numbers were not great. No one's going to dispute that. But there were times, especially there down the stretch, he was able to move the chains a little bit and get some things going.
He did a great job. His number was called, and he came and ran hard. We were able to get some good runs with him in there. It was exciting to see.
All right, what about this wide nine Eagles defense? I talked to you about it during the week. And, you know, they came at you hard, but I thought you guys did a good job keeping Eli upright. They didn't seem to confuse you much at all, even though Justin Pugh had to come out of the game and Brett Jones had to come in and play some guard.
Yeah, Brett did a great job. He's a really smart guy, and, you know, they get most of their sacks just rushing four guys.
Right.
So we knew we had to block, you know, their wide nines and wide threes, and I think we did, for the most part, a pretty good job of that.
Was the communication at all difficult? Did you guys have any issues?
They don't really do anything real tricky, so you know it was pretty standard, you know, nickel defense, and we just had to make sure that you know, we used our technique and blocked them up when they came at us.
All right, final question I'm going to ask, because I know the fans want to know. They're in the stands. You're on the offense on the sidelines during these last couple of games in the final moments of the game. What is it like for you to watch that defense in the final minute or two? Now, it's happened a couple of times this year. Try to lock it down.
I would rather me be out there snapping it to take a knee. You know, we had a chance there before the interception to end the game with a first down. So I would much rather us be out there so I'm not having a heart attack on the sidelines.
That's not a bad idea, and I think they agree with you.
Yeah. We'll get it down. It's going to happen for us.
What does this say before I let you go about the division? Big win for you guys, obviously.
Yeah, that was very big. We've got to continue to get better. There were some good things we did, but I think we did some things to kind of shoot ourselves in the foot, especially in the second half. So we'll have to progress from here, watch the film, move on. We got a big game coming Monday night.
All right, Weston Richburg, congratulations. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, guys, let's go back to you.
All right, Weston Richburg talking about things that have to get better. Guys, one of the things that improved a bit today, but it's still not there yet, for the seventh time in their eight games, they have the opponent has held the advantage in time of possession. Today was 5 minutes and 20 seconds. In five of those games, they had at least a 10-minute disadvantage, so it is an improvement. But is that such a big deal, the time of possession, the variance?
Well, I think it just speaks to the fact that they actually started fast. They scored in the first quarter, and that's one of the things. They've been a slow-starting team all season long. That certainly helped them. Weston Richburg mentioned the fact that, you know, now Brett Jones is going to have to step in. This is a huge part in their season right now. This is a three-game home stretch. They started off right with a big win against the Eagles. They're going to have a big test against a well-rested Cincinnati Bengals team coming off a bye. Andy Dalton, A.J. Green, that's going to be another big test for this defense.
Also, the combination of Jeremy Hill and Giovanni Bernard, those two guys can run downhill and really control things at the line of scrimmage, a big offensive line for the Cincinnati Bengals. But this is a game that the offensive line for the New York Giants, that they're going to get tested. The Cincinnati Bengals.
Geno Atkins,
they're front four. They attack. They're able to apply pressure with just four. So this is going to be a big test for the Giants offensive line playing at home on Monday Night Football up against a well-rested Bengals defense.
I just think the Giants need to learn how to deal with success better. They were up 14 today and kind of took their foot off the gas. It's too hard in this league to kind of keep turning on and off the effort and the intensity. I think the Giants need to get into a game and just play hard the entire game, because when they go aggressive, throwing the ball downfield and running the ball sparingly, but I think Peterson's going to be a little bit better than Rashard Jennings. I think that they can have a really dominant offense. They just need to let things go and be more aggressive. I'd like to see them more aggressive for four quarters.
Well, you guys were players. You played in those close games and also lopsided ones. What would you think that the Giants players, they can say one thing now, but are they feeling confident or are they feeling uneasy about escaping with victories?
I think you feel confident because you get the win, but at the same time, you know that there is still work to be done and you still have to improve as a football team. And like I said, you can nitpick and we can sit here and continue to do everything we're doing, but the matter of fact is they won off of the bye. They beat the Philadelphia Eagles. They continue to stay in the fight for the NFC East, and they will continue to move forward as a football team with some injuries, with some things that they need to do schematic-wise. But having said all that, they beat the Philadelphia Eagles, and now here come the Cincinnati Bengals.
I think they'd be a little bit uneasy because, you know, you're 31% on third down. You're just really not – The effort isn't consistent. You know, the defense is playing well, but how many more games are they going to be able to hold out, a team like the Philadelphia Eagles in the red zone? I think that's they put themselves in very tough positions, and their defense is doing a great job. But is it going to be like that for the rest of the season? Could they do it against better teams? Yeah. That's where I would be a little uneasy.
Well, you know, I would agree that it has to get better. I don't know. I don't think it's the effort. I just think it's the result. The way they
go about
it. It's
not effort, it's execution.
Yeah.
And that's really what it comes down to. And they've got to do a better job of that. They've got to do a better job, to your point, too, closing out games. You know, that's the difference between good teams and great teams.
All right. Anyway, where am I? I'm over there. That's where I am. Remember, folks, the
you're
next
right
game
there.
Coming
that's
up,
you are.
November
right
14th, Monday night, as the guys just said, it's a big game coming up again right here at MetLife against the Cincinnati Bengals.
Right here.
For all the crew here, right Sean O'Hara, David Deal, Imani Tuma, I'm Russ Salzberg. See you next time on Giants Post Game Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz on MSG.